guess apparently in the end, I'm not a horribly diplomatic person. Oh, you know, I don't think that it's a terribly useful thing sometimes to be really diplomatic, because it creates huge problems. It actually ends up being a dodge for decisive leadership. Like, for instance, we have two separate databases for the university. One for the campus here in Ruidoso, combined population, about 7,000. Students being tracked on it, staff, faculty, the whole nine yards. You know, but we have a whole nother one for Roswell, which has an attendance of about 3,000 at best. The best decision initially when they brought in the database was that there should only have been one, and that everybody should have just been told, excuse me, hi, this is the way it's going to be. Roswell at the time was very excited about becoming independent. And so they were getting a little snitty about the whole thing. They were starting fights. They were being, you know, they were being jerky. And so, in the grand committee style, they punted and said, fine, we'll have two separate databases, therefore automatically doubling how much of a pain in the butt everything was going to be. You know, instead of trying to keep two, an actual production and then a play instance of our environment running, now we have to keep four going. And then they come back and they say, well, we need to get ready to do this. We need to bring up two more. So, we can't even manage the four we have. Two more? No. I'm sorry. I mean, you can tell me that you want it, and I'll say, with what resources do you want to do this? Do you think we can just spin this stuff up? Because there's licensing costs to consider. There's all kinds of fun stuff that I don't think you guys even think about. Because you think that this is just, you know, so this is just all free on board. Says the problem is the two databases are diverging further and further and further apart. You okay?
Yeah, I just don't know. Yeah.
Sure. Well, here. You stand over here. Oh, okay. There's a... Oh, pardon me. There's this, So now, Roswell is very forward about doing things differently. The problem is, very expensive. Now they're building up their own little infrastructure. But whenever they have the smallest problem, they expect us to swoop in and solve it for them. And you go, I don't think you're really contributing sufficiently to this. They said, you know, because they go, well, it's not fair that we should be paying as much for Talos does. And you go, excuse me? It says, you have a totally separate system. It costs exactly the same as what Catalysis costs, because it doesn't matter how many students you have. What matters is we have to buy a whole other license for this. We have to run a whole other infrastructure just for you. You go, along the way, we tried to combine sometimes, and sometimes we didn't, and it's been causing problems. They've been manageable up until now, but our partners, and call them partners, our vendors, the people who actually give us this solution, they're saying that we shouldn't have done it the way we did it. Our consultants say we shouldn't have done it the way we did it. Because, you know, this is the best life, you know, you take things and you do stuff like that. But at some point, you know, we need to see what we can do long term. So then we keep hunting the ball. And you go, frankly, the next time we decide to make a big change, and the sad part is we'll probably never get it next time. Because it's a dang invested in this solution. We need to stop doing this. If Rosa wants to be independent, it better just do it. And be prepared to face the consequences of the fact that they really can't do it. Yes, and bear the actual cost, which they're not doing. I don't think. Because I don't want to be rude, but I said New Mexico State University made an excellent decision at some point. They said, they told their individual campuses, shut up, sit down, you belong to this university. We'll have one database, and you will conform. If you want to do it your own way, you're going to have to break away completely, properly. It says, and the larger university is not going to put any resources toward that sort of behavior. So yeah. And, you know, the problem is we let this stuff sit, and you're going, okay, everybody's had to take either pay cuts or we're having to live on less. And you go, okay, this is an easy thing. It says we should obviously pay whatever amount of money it takes to get our infrastructure reintegrated, because that's going to ultimately cost us less. You know, not only in licensing, but in manpower. This is right now, we're not really handling things. We're just limping along. If we had the proper... Yeah, I wasn't going to go the other way. I don't know what the other way even is. Oh, he was saying... Oh, okay, I apologize. So... And you go, this is... We would have to get some extra manpower to do this, but I think we can bring in a consultant to do this. Maybe even to work for us on a temporary basis for a year. Yeah, Gary predicts it'll take about a year. Of course, that's with him with his regular load of stuff.
Yeah.
and you go, if we had a consultant here, you'd take less time. Especially when they only have one project, and that's all they're working on all the time, is this integration. You know, said in the time of cost cutting, it says, and I don't think this is going to end. I don't think in 5 years all of a sudden we're going to be flush with money. It's going to be wonderful. It says maybe. It says, but wouldn't it be great to be lean and trim going into really excellent time? You know? Then we can make more decisions because we have more money to play with. It's kind of like us, you know? I'm out of debt now. It says when flush times come again, I'll have more options available to me. I made the recommendation. Yeah, when it comes down to it, you go, I don't get along well with others, and you go, this is one of the results of trying to get along well with others. Or big, huge messes that seem intractable. Obamacare is an example of a committee decision made, and, you know, it's just a big Texas two-step, you know? The Democrats love it because now they get to castigate the Republicans for apparently hating poor people, you know, because they're going to take away your health care. That we wonderful people were willing to give you. So, you can see from all the responses from the Republicans about it how about half of them don't want to be blamed for having done this, so they're just not going to do it. And you're going, so well, Lisa, that's what politicians are. They're diplomatic chickens. And you go, very few leaders among them. And the first thing you want to do with someone who is a leader, who's challenging the status quo, is you want to kill them, you know? You don't want them screwing with the system. It works really well. The Democrats are still banking on the fact that as long as we keep producing what looks like these wonderful benefits for poor people, and as long as we make sure that there's plenty of poor people, this is this is the recipe for staying in power eternally. You know? They don't want the economy to get better. Then poor people won't care so much about the fact that they're poor. They'll be looking at opportunities, and they'll be going, oh, I'm starting to feel kind of like a Republican. What? I kind of like Republicans because Republicans want me to get rich and succeed and all kinds of stuff like that. The Democrats don't like that, you know, because the problems of the power base, they really do better under bad circumstances, and so that's why they're always trying to make circumstances sound bad. There's always a crisis. There's plenty to find. I mean, the world's not perfect at all. All right, how are we doing? So, I think the basic idea of the Democratic Party is to make sure that people perceive themselves as downtrodden and disenfranchised, and as long as they keep up with the rhetoric of that they are for these people, and that if magnificent social programs don't come to fruition, it's because the Republicans are evil, which says they've got a winning combination that works great for people who basically think that life is unfair, and that government should be making things more fair. And you go, it's a very tempting, very beautiful concept for which there is no practical there's no practical way of making it happen. It becomes a form of slavery to be involved in it. The disenfranchised stay disenfranchised. You take all of the wealth of everybody who's doing well, and you just throw it down the biggest rat hole you can find. And what it looks like from any normal standpoint, or if you were to step back and look at it, it looks like any other coup d'etat, you know? People here want to be in power. They're not in power right now. But they found a cool way to gain power. It involves making everybody miserable, you know, but that's okay as long as they get to be on top, you know. Vladimir Lenin was just this guy, but he had total control and total power, and all he had to do to retain it was to dress in peasant clothes. You know, because Lenin may have been a true believer, but the guy who came after him, Stalin, it was just about the power for him. He couldn't keep the Soviet Union going except to kill everybody who in any way threatened things, threatened the system. And so it was really easy. Comply or die. The Soviet Union became that, exactly. Comply or die. Because if you don't like the Soviet system, I hope you can find a way to get out, because they're not gonna make it easy. Everybody says, isn't Gandhi wonderful? And you go, Gandhi had it easy. Gandhi had it so simple that it wasn't even hard. He said, yes, British India was an apartheid nightmare. It wasn't even being hidden on any level, you know. And so when Gandhi came in, saying how unjust everything was, he didn't have to convince a soul. And you go, but I can't use the kind of techniques that Gandhi used. And he said, of course not. He says, let me tell you a little secret. You're not really being oppressed. You're doing just fine. You go out there and you whine, you scream, and you say that things are unjust. You're trying to use the same rhetoric that he was using. Because that's why it doesn't work. Because that's why the thing that seems to be working the best is social justice warriors. Because they aren't about peace. They aren't about a better world, particularly.
No.
They're all about killing the opposition so they can have their way.
Yeah. I get it.
And you're going, you have to understand, guys, you're killing the people who finance what you want to do. You go, ooh. At best, you've got a handful of leftist-run successful businesses. But those only happen off of the backs of closet leftists who actually function and work in a very right-wing economy. You go, if they got their utopia, they would all be poor. There would be no resources. Everyone would be scrabbling around trying to make a living. And you've become instantly one of the worst third world countries that you've ever seen. The problems of the third world are actually quite easy to fix. You know, disease, food shortages, stuff like that. Now we are fixing them particularly well. It says that they're easy, but see, the left just tries to transfer those kinds of things over to something else. That's why whenever they talk, they're painting an America that's full of homeless people, an America that where people are treated second class, and you're going, I'm sorry, you're describing a third world country, and that's what you're working for. You're trying to make America a third world country. You think that it's a just and fair thing to make us suffer as much as other people are suffering. And you go, all the while you're doing it, you're lying. You think that when we spread out all the wealth, everybody's going to be happy. And it's all going to be great, right? That's the problem, is these rich people keep hanging out of their wealth. How dare they? You know? And you go, well, you know, it's not going to work with the Soviet Union. When they did socialism, what happened? The rich people were gone, and everybody got poor. And the place fell apart. The only reason why there's interesting things to see in Russia today is because Russians were too weak to tear it down so they could build another Soviet bloc apartment building. You know, the cool-looking Kremlin place.
They said, communists didn't build that. It wouldn't have been built under the communists. We've seen what the communists built. They build big stuff. They're ugly. And it's stupid. And it indicates that it's a vacuous way of being. Anything beautiful didn't happen under communism. It just didn't work out.
You do too. You're best. Oh. And I'll keep fighting the fight, Lee. Apparently that's what brings in the money. I don't get it myself, but there it is.
Yeah.
See ya.
Okay.
Bye.